not. Veto.
Those circuses on the air.
And the president does it.
Sometimes you feel like
that
a...
That means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't...
Tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny!
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Oh, we're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
China's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And good morning to you, Mr. Dave Schwann.
Good morning to you, Dave Plyer.
And we finally got a taste of summer this past week. Just a taste, though.
Just a little bit of a taste.
Before it snows again.
Just a little bit of a taste. I was talking with a friend not long ago, and he said, have you ever witnessed a June such as this?
No.
And I said, no. I said, we've had late, colder spells that went through the end of May, where we've had cool Memorial Days.
Yeah.
But... geez, temperatures in the 50s, the third week of June?
I never thought I'd be asking for some humidity in the air, right? Right.
Not only that, when we were in North Dakota and South Dakota a few weeks ago, temperatures were in the 90s.
That's fantastic. You probably loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Before you came back to the big chill here.
And it is really a dry heat.
It is a dry heat. Of course it is. Well, you know, for the past 93 years, and we talk about this once a year, which I love this day, because you're such a road tripping guy. You do these road trips with your dad. You know, it's a perfect time for a road trip, and what better place to take that journey than Route 66? It's the last 93 years. It has delighted travelers for generations. It wasn't the first highway in America by any means.
Oh, no.
And others may have covered more ground and had much more traffic, but, you know, the most well-known highway in this country is the mother road, Route 66.
Yeah, it gets the notoriety for a number of reasons. First of all, it was the first connecting road between two... well, Chicago being a major city, Los Angeles was not yet a major city in 1926 when it was commissioned. But it did connect the Midwest with the West Coast. And then, of course, you had John Steinbeck's incredible novel, The Grapes of Wrath, which, you know, talks about the Joad family moving from Oklahoma all the way out to California because of the Dust Bowl. They displaced, lost the farm, lost everything, and moving out. And he was the one, John Steinbeck was the one that coined the phrase, the Mother Road. In one of the chapters, in one of the first couple of paragraphs, he says, Route 66 is the Mother Road, the road of flight. And it was. For all of those.
Absolutely. To get people across the country.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, besides, you know, going down winding roads. The Lone Star Route passed through St. Louis on its way from Chicago to Cameron, Louisiana. Though Route 66 would take a shorter route through Bloomington rather than Peoria, the Transcontinental National Old Trails led to St. Louis to Los Angeles, but was not followed until New Mexico. Instead, US 66 used one of the main routes of the Ozarks Trail system, which ended at the National Old Trails Road just south of Las Vegas. And then, again, a shorter route was taken here, following the postal highway between Oklahoma City and Amarillo. And finally, the National Old Trails Road became the rest of the, I mean, it took a while to try to piece all this together, is my point, right?
Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah. They pieced it together. They pieced it together from old trails, which was really the origin of our state and federal highway system in this country.
Yeah.
You know, time and again, you will see, you know, stories about, you know, the origins of our great U.S. highways, not the interstates, but the U.S. highways being modeled on and patterned after older roads that were indeed once trails for Native American travel between places.
I think there's a generation that doesn't know that, you know, you think about Route 66, you think more rural communities and so forth, but it actually began at Michigan Avenue and Jackson Boulevard.
Yep. And
which is phenomenal to know that that's kind of the origins of it all. It's in the big city.
It is indeed in a big city. Yeah. And when Jackson Boulevard was a two-way street, We now have Adams going west, Jackson going east.
Right, right.
And one of the legendary stops on Route 66 is only several blocks away from the beginning, Lou Mitchell's restaurant.
Lou Mitchell's, that's
it's
right.
It's been there since the 1920s.
Right at the top of the list. You were showing me before we began this morning your books that you have, and one that's how old? 20 years old or
well,
so?
Well, the one by Tom Snyder.
Yeah.
Who,
what's it called?
25, 30 years ago. It's called the Route 66 Traveler's Guide and Roadside Companion.
That was your Bible.
And it was.
Yeah.
This was my best friend, that and a $10 compass that I bought to mount it on my dashboard when I drove this in 1993 by myself.
By yourself?
By myself.
Okay, all right.
Now, in 2009.
You took your dad.
10 years ago, Dad and I did it.
Yeah.
And there's another story about that because there's some family involvement here. But Tom Snyder's book, and then it was updated some years later, in the late 90s, the early 2000s.
Gotcha. And another book that you have here that is also one of your guides.
This is kind of a definitive.
I have that one too.
This is not only a guide, but it's also a real pictorial history of Route 66. It's Michael Wallace's book,
mm-hmm.
Route 66, The Mother Road, and he's recognized as one of the definitive historians of 66. And other roads like that, things like the old Lincoln Highway or Route 41.
But looking at these books, I mean, it's great for nostalgia purposes and educational purposes, kind of learning about it all, but it kind of encourages you to want to hit the road and do that. And that's exactly what you
did. That's what I did.
Yeah. So tell us about some of the excitement of the journeys, like when you first left Chicago.
I remember leaving on a Sunday morning. This was 93 when I did this trip, and it was a pretty clear morning, no bad weather or anything like that. But I remember all by myself in my car, turning the corner at the Art Institute, Michigan Avenue and Adams, with an ear-to-ear grin.
Yeah, you were
starting.
You were starting.
The music, I've got my music turned up, the window was down, and pointed the car west. And I just remember being so excited to think, what lies ahead?
Yeah.
What's going to happen here?
Yeah, and people do segments of the trip. You did it. All the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And how long? First of all, how long is that journey for folks that haven't done that?
Well,
if
you do it the right way, it's going to be a full week, seven days.
All right.
And I tell people, if you are going to do this there and back, allow yourself at least 2 full weeks.
Yeah.
Because not only because of the distance, but because of there's so much to see.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You don't want to just blow through places.
Absolutely not.
You know, either going to or coming from. I must say, both trips that we've done here recently, we cheated on the way back a little bit, taking interstates.
Sure,
but you know that was just a little more efficient.
Did you stop at Lou Mitchell's? On the way out of here?
No,
because there's so much to see along the way.
Yeah.
But talk about some of the iconic places just coming out of Chicago and this area that are right, I mean, as you leave. I mean, these are historic places that people consider a big part of Route 66.
Oh, yeah, right. You know, Illinois has plenty of them.
Yeah.
The chicken in a basket that is there in the Grange area is a mainstay. I also like the little restaurant in Pontiac, Illinois, called the Log Cabin Inn.
Yeah,
You are looking at the Log Cabin.
Yeah.
There's an interesting story about that. There is an institution. It's been on the road almost since the beginning of the road. And when they built a larger bypass around the end of World War II or just after World War II in Pontiac, it was not going to face in the direction that they wanted it to. So they moved the building.
Wow.
to accommodate
it. Hey, that was business. I mean,
it was business.
At that time, those restaurants, those stores, the theaters, the museums, all these, the gas stations, that was people's livelihood. And that was the place to pretty much strike gold because you were on the only road to get from east to west.
That's right. And, you know, they were fortunate in that regard, Dave, because they were able to move the business. As you go through southern Illinois, and especially into Missouri for some reason, you will go through areas where you will see long vacant buildings, even little towns that were vacant. And the reason why? Because they were bypassed by the interstate. And they weren't able to necessarily survive.
Well, I hate to say it, but this is the one thing that introduced Route 66 to my kids was the movie Cars.
cars.
Because it was all about that. And it was about, here's our little town that had really great stuff, and we had something for everybody here, and nobody stops here anymore. There's not an exit close to us anymore, and that's why some of these places... But how did some of these places still stick around and survive? They've just become tourist attractions for the most part.
They've become tourist attractions, and they've also become recognized as stops on 66. We can thank people like Michael Wallace and Tom Snyder for writing about these various places, getting their attention. There's another restaurant... It's one of the treasures of America. It's in Litchfield, Illinois, south of Springfield. Of course, we have the Cozy Dog in Springfield.
Yes, yes.
The Cozy Dog. But the Ariston Cafe
here.
Litchfield is such a treasure, and it is still run by the family that started it.
Wow, that's amazing.
Almost from the beginning of 66, the son of the founder, Nick Adam, and his wife. And I'll tell you a quick story
about
Ariston.
Yeah, please. Oh, yeah, yeah.
When we went down to cover the eclipse in a couple of years ago, down to Carbondale, we stopped at Litchfield for lunch, stopped in at the Ariston, and talked with Nick for a little while, and he wanted to know where we were from and what we were doing.
I say, that had been some of the beauty of this trip, is talking to the locals and the owners of these establishments,
that's the really one of the whole reasons why you would do a trip like this. Yeah. So I introduced myself, told him I worked at WGN, and we were on our way to Carbondale to cover the eclipse. He said, "Oh, let me get my wife. My wife listens to WGN every day." So we went out and met her. Yeah. And how about this? Four young guys walked in, and they were from Austria. They weren't here to see the eclipse. They were here to drive Route 66.
Wow, that's cool. Love to hear that from a younger generation, right?
Yeah.
But you're right. So many of these restaurants, you know, you talked about the chicken, but White Fence Farm, the Berghoff is actually part of it, too.
Berghoff is, because it's on Adams.
Palms Grill, Haley's Restaurant, the Chili Parlor, Luna's Cafe.
The Palms was closed, and the one in Atlanta was closed for a while, and it has recently reopened. And there is a place worth visiting, because there's a lot of local history there at the Palms. Just one of those you walk in, and it's walking into an old classic diner type of establishment.
Yeah.
And they'll take you in the back. Back in the day, there was a dining room there for parties and local events. There's nothing else around it. Think 80 years ago, your largest cities were Bloomington, it took a long time to get there, and not everybody had a car. So this was your social center,
right?
In a place like that.
Well, and then outside of the restaurants, there's all these vintage places along the way, and the pictures that you've always shown me, and were the gas stations, like some of these vintage gas stations. You know, you can get an old fashioned soda and pop it open on the side of the building, and
just like Wally's in Mayberry.
Odell gas station. I've got the Ambler Becker station here. You had a couple in mind. I know that you've had before.
You mentioned the Odell station. Yeah. There's also one in Mount Olive, Illinois, as you get further south of Springfield, south of Litchfield, that was in business for a long time. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been all that long since it's been closed. It was a Shell station, Soulsby's Service
Station. Oh, yeah. See it right here. Yeah.
And as you continue on the road, you will see places like that.
There's a couple of theaters. Obviously, the Rialto was on
Rialto,
that route as well.
Yes, sure, and Joliet.
But there's drive-ins along the way, too, and, of course, across the country. And, it's tragedy for me, because I love going to the drive-in. The Cascade closed this year, and all we have left is a McHenry Outdoor. But that is the big destination, at least to go to one or two movies under the stars, right?
I don't know. I hope it's still around, but there's a beautifully restored drive-in theater.
Is that the Skyview?
In Carthage, Missouri.
Okay.
As you're leaving Joplin, almost into Kansas now, there's a beautifully restored drive-in there outside of Carthage, Missouri, and it's called the Route 66 Drive-In.
Oh, that's great.
And we were there during the day, so obviously they weren't showing movies, but they were ready to go for the evening. It was just beautiful.
The Beer Nuts Factory, of course. What is the two-cell jail? Do you know anything about that?
Be the one in Gardner, I think, in Gardner, Illinois.
All right.
That's one of my favorite places in Illinois. And the reason for that is because...
Were you locked up in there?
No, no, not in that one.
Okay. All right.
But the reason I like Gardner in particular was because of the fact that in order to get onto 66, it's unavoidable to get on 55. You must get on I-55 in places, you know, just kind of hopping on and off. And that's okay. That's okay.
Of course.
There are other places where you have to do it. But when you get into Gardner, south of Joliet and Dwight, now you get on one of the original alignments. You can get off the interstate and get off a state highway, and you're actually on the old alignment that takes you south toward Pontiac, south toward Lincoln and Springfield and that area there. So Gardner's always been kind of a favorite place for me.
Yeah.
You really hit the authentic road.
Because I have to think that, you know, as you said, you use some of these books to kind of discover where you're going. You really have to, because you've got, you know, if you're going to do it in a week or do it in 2 weeks, and some people try to tighten it a little bit more, you really got to circle those destinations and do some research. So, you know, because you could be there for, quite frankly, weeks if you were going to stop everywhere. Yeah. So you really got to pick some highlights, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I must say, Dave, it's better marked now than it was when I first drove it in 93, simply because it's become more popular to do. A lot of state associations, dedicated people have worked hard to raise money for marking the road. You know, you'll look for the brown markers that say Historic Route 66.
Well, as I say, the biggest photo ops that I saw online, the number one, of course, is getting your picture next to the begin and end sign for Route 66,
right?
I mean, that's important. They were mentioning also Skydeck Chicago, of course, Buckingham Fountain. I know it sounds silly, but this is on the way.
It's right on there.
Cloud Gate, the Collins Street Prison, the Gemini Giant, the Pontiac Murals, the Bunyan Statue, the Lexington Memory Lane, Atlanta Murals as well. So there's just little photo ops along the way something unique.
All the way through.
And there's so many museums that have popped up as a result. Some were there, like you said, you start at the Art Institute. But then, you know, the Field Museum, Museum of Science and Industry. But then, you know, you get the, there's Route 66 museums along the entire way.
There are. And again, those are due to the local communities. Pontiac has done a great job of marketing and promoting Route 66 and the way in which it goes through there.
They have an auto museum, don't they?
They might. Take a great deal of pride in that and have for a number of years now, you know, which is really great to see. But yeah, time and again, you'll go through a little town, and you're driving on their main street, which really was the original 66, and a restaurant, a store, a bank will say, you know, this is so-and-so, proud to be on Route 66.
If you had to pick one highlight from Illinois to California, like one place that you were just like, that is the symbol to me of Route 66, and that was brought you the most joy, what would it be?
Well, you know, close to home here, Illinois, because, you know, when you get out of Chicago, you get out of the metropolitan area, it's really remarkable to, you know, all of a sudden now you're in the fields. But a place like Litchfield would be a place.
Yeah, so
like
that's
that.
Your highlight.
Yeah, and a place like, the older gas stations, the one in Odell. Can I tell one quick story about the Odell gas station? We stopped there once again to check in with Dean Richards when we were headed down to cover the eclipse.
Yeah.
We did a far-flung forecast from there. I'm standing out in the parking lot of this old gas station, which goes back to around 1930.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little museum there, too. And I'm on my cell phone, and I'm talking with Dean, and we're doing the whole routine and everything else, and we got done. And this lady walked over to me, and she looked at me and she said, "Are you Schwanee?"
Get out of here.
She said, "Are you Schwanee?"
Well, your voice is unmistakable.
And I said, "Oh." I said, "You must have been listening." She said, "I do listen to WGN and I just heard you on."
Oh, that's awesome.
"And you said where you were."
That's awesome.
And she was one of the volunteers that worked at this gas station, which
that's
is a
cool,
wonderful thing to see.
And to be out there with our listeners too, right?
Yeah.
Just some
bonus. So there you are, Dave.
I love it. So Dave and I, along with Andy Mazur, will be filling in for Steve Cochran, Steve Brzanich, and Dave Ennett on Thursday, July 4th, a tradition that we've done for many years on all the holidays. So join us, won't you? It is Sunday morning, time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com. Walter?
Lucky me this morning. I've just made it through 12 days of the great electric scooter experiment without being run over. Crazy scooters running red lights, paralyzing drivers, terrorizing bikers, zigzagging and speeding around toddlers in strollers, grandmas and grandpas in wheelchairs, families at water fountains, doggies at fire hydrants. Electric scooters are the rage and a hazard, causing injury and death. In Tennessee last month, a man on a scooter was killed by an SUV. In France last week, a scooter rider killed by a van. In Sweden by a truck. In Oklahoma, a 5-year-old child on a scooter with his mother killed falling off. So why, then, have 2,500 scooter renters been granted permission to menace Chicago? And why are thousands more electric scooters now on the way? I have no proof of this, but it's fair for me to guess that a reason they're invading Chicago is that the scooter makers are stuffing pockets in City Hall to persuade the decision makers to allow and promote electric scooters. Now, don't you worry about scooters, they say, because we're not permitting them to exceed 15 miles an hour and not permitting them on sidewalks. Oh, is that so? When's the last time you saw a policeman or anyone from City Hall slowing a scooter to 15 miles an hour or running a scooter off a sidewalk? I've never seen it, but I know when I will, when a scooter rider in Chicago is killed, or worse, kills someone else. I'm Walter Jacobson, and that's my perspective. For more, visit WGNRadio.com or download the WGN Radio app.